Sir, if you wanted this from Mr. Nixon, it's now been put right up to date. Some of the, well, sample of the comments at least.
You must have heard from New York. I could see he was kind of muted when he came in. Well, how did you go about it?
I just walked in. He was getting ready to come in to see you, and after I left your office, I said, Henry, I just want to.
He didn't leave the impression that I had talked to you about it.
I don't think he knew I was in there. He didn't ask me. I just said, Henry, I think you ought to know that Joe Kraft came by to see me. And I said I hadn't seen him, but in view of the op-ed piece that I wrote, I kind of got challenged and I had to see him. And he said, he never let me finish. He said, he's a snake. He's no good. He knew what Kraft had told me, even before I told Henry, because he said, can't trust me. I said, oh, God, I said, he's a vicious son of a bitch. I said, you know what he tried to say? He tried to tell me that he had done that story from you. that scowl on his face, man, because he was ripping Kraft apart because he's a pal of Kraft.
Did you think he also did the fact that he said Reston?
Yeah, I said that Kraft said that he and Reston, Kraft told me that Reston and himself had never been so upset to have their integrity challenged. But I challenged their integrity. I said, Henry, did you read my thing? And,
Hello? Hello? I just called to see how you're feeling.
Sort of a judge of this as having seen it, and because you
service. You've always been active and so forth. So I just want you to know that that could be a very interesting and important assignment. So anyway, you give my best to everybody down there, and the whole country's pulling for you. And well, I was proud to be there.
Walking around his office very fast. You always know, I mean, Henry is a terrible poker player. And he said, well, you know, he said, you know that son of a bitch called me. I said, oh, before he came, he said, yes, yes.
Right. Yeah.
He said, of course, we know other ones.
He admitted when I called him every day. He said he had never talked to him. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, well, we had the telephone record when he placed the call. He doesn't know. He plays the phone. He doesn't know I know that. He said, Kraft called me. And he said, he told me that everybody in town was talking about this. And I said, well, that's what he printed, Henry. And I said, didn't you try to talk him out of it? And he said, of course I tried to talk him out of it, but I couldn't talk him out of it. He said, that's why he wrote that awful comp. He said, he's no good. I said, well, the only thing I worry about, Henry, is I stuck into him pretty hard. And I just don't want him to go off and blow off somewhere that he had gotten this from you and Rustin had gotten it from me. And put you in an embarrassing position. That's the only reason I'm warning you of this. Henry was just fulminating. And you can see the turmoil. He didn't get himself caught in his own lies because he forgets what the hell he's told him.
But at least
he knows that Kraft is on the verge of blowing the whistle on him. Now,
you think Kraft is?
No.
I don't think he ever would. No. He is going to destroy a source.
No. Well, except that he destroyed it insofar as I'm concerned. I mean, he told me very flatly that his source was a primary source. And I dragged it out and I said, what the hell do you mean? He said, well, I talked to Henry and he said, you know, Henry, Kraft, yes, he said, Henry wasn't averse to letting that impression come out. He said, he wasn't. He said, you know, Henry's funny that way. He'll play off both sides. So Kraft told me quite. I mean, he didn't equivocate. Of course, Sonnenfeld, who works for Henry, is probably the only other guy besides Haig who really sees completely through Henry, totally. And Sonnenfeld has been to me this week and said,
well, what's he say? I'm interested.
Oh, Sonnenfeld thinks that Henry is duplicit and devious and knows that he was promoting those stories.
Sonnenfeld told you this,
John? Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. Sonnenfeld is...
You better keep Sonnenfeld out of this.
Well, except for...
He wants to pull him out because he's such a repulsive bastard. But he doesn't bother me. He doesn't recall me.
I'm as smart as him.
And he's smart.
And he's hardline.
And is he hardline?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yes. Oh, he's a hawk. But the point of hell is he sees right through Henry. And Henry can't pull... The reason Henry doesn't give him much leeway is that he sees right through him. So hell came me last week. And then after I wrote the op-ed piece, Hal came and he said, do you realize what you've done? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, Christ, he said, Kraft and Rustin are both talking about the fact that they got their stuff directly from Kissinger. He said, you've walked right into the middle of it. That was when I told you that I was smoking him out. I hadn't realized it.
But Sonico came to you this week and what did he say? What does he mean by that?
Well, he thinks that Henry plays the game of being a good guy with the Krafts and the Restons, and then internally, of course he isn't. I mean, he represents his position differently outside,
yes,
than inside.
And Sonnenfeld thinks he does this.
Oh, yeah. And Hal says he's sure to do it. And Hal said, I've been with him when he said, I don't want to be disloyal to Henry. But Hal said, my first loyalty is to the president. He said, he said Henry is a very dangerous guy when he does this because he'll drop these little cute remarks, and he said he's been doing it regularly, and he said this time he got quiet, and he said it's bothering Henry. He said I can't, and he said Henry knows I know, and he said he's very embarrassed with me right now.
That's probably Henry's trying to show you. Make a note to all of them. We better get a song called Kevin over here, right?
Well, unless Henry just
eliminates
the
effect. Yes, we don't want him.
God. his office. I think he's with Scally. They were going to be... Pay was not brief Scally today and meet with Timmich for the article.
Henry, of course, is... he's petrified with Scally.
Security structure.
It's more foreign policy, apparently, or something like that. See my point? Rockefeller is strong enough to perhaps lead the whole thing.
Yep. That's the list they brought me in on that yesterday and said they were thinking of Bob Murphy, and I said I wondered if Bob was
too old.
Too old, yeah.
No, the answer is no. So there's the beginning right there.
My initial reaction was he's over the hill.
He's over the hill. He's just too old to do this. I want bidders, and here's a chance to get people that are...
Leo Chern type, maybe.
Leo Chern would be good.
Hard money.
Leo Chern, marvelous idea. Marvelous idea. Now you're talking. Let's go away from the lead, or whatever his name is.
Sure.
We can't put a newspaper. You're the name of the right minds, but I want you check the names and so forth.
Right.
Henry will come up with the usual one, the John McCloy's and all that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have any deal wires on there. No more new people. That's like we do. You see, Chuck, what people don't realize, the foreign policy field and also the rest, we really change. We are turning things around in a massive way.
Drastically.
Don't you agree?
But that's the point that
we change in that world. Now that world needs to go to hell.
Just dramatically, I wrote a speech which I have to clear with Henry. I've been asked to give a Charles Evans Hughes lecture at Brown.
Good.
It's a great prestige. I'll probably get booed, but I'm talking about your courage in changing the world, not just Vietnam.
I would put it in terms. I did it to it very subtly. I would say, no, I understand here. It is not true that I have made this kind of speech. It's a very question. He said, I want to write at the outset, I realize.
Can't have it both ways.
Son, but you can't continue to pander to the left.
No, I would was very upset that he did kill, but you know, here's...
Oh, I was too, but you know, Sigurd, it's not, I must say, this was Sigurd's, they were all decided.
Well, I read...
That's all that we had, and I said, well, no, help somebody else or all.
Howard Smith would have taken it like that.
No, he wouldn't. They tried. Sigurd said he tried.
Couldn't, because Howard Smith wasn't reachable. Howard Smith was not here, that's why.
The problem.
Well, the ratings would make no difference. Whether, no matter what network it was on, it would make no difference. Because he got a 7.6 in New York, a 5.5 in L.A., and both shown at 9 o'clock in the evening. Ironside got a 29.8, and ABC Kung Fu, whatever the hell that is, got 21.6. So, 7.6. But interestingly, Mr. President, it went 7.6, 7.1, and then in the second half hour, 5.0. In other words, he lost one-third of his audience in the first half hour. But I don't care what network. I mean, the argument, I know the argument that Ziegler and Kissinger used was that CBS had the best audience level. Doesn't make any difference. You put on Kissinger, any public service program, any one of the three networks, and... Seven.
No, they were not good. We'd done very much better than that. But, you know, like a 12 or a 15 or something like that. But
yes.
You've got to preempt all three.
That's right. I was...
I'm sure you sure had to follow up and just... And take it.
Yeah. But in Los Angeles, my God, it got a 5.5. And Kung Fu got 24.
Thank you.